Hello, it's Tim of Kuan Yin Healing, and welcome to the Module 1 Q&A call. So there's a bunch of things that we could review, but I know Bruce is ready to go with questions. So, Bruce, if you're ready, let's
By all means, review first.
all right. So the main idea of Module 1 is to get kind of grounded and ready before we start jumping into things. And then with Module 2, we start jumping in slowly, start right with the physical realm, things we can see, hear, touch, smell, and taste, things that we don't have to have mystical wondering things for. So just to review some of the really basic ideas that we touched on in Module 1, a lot of this is just beginning to get real with ourselves. Right, starting from Frost's poem, we can, it's a very natural human tendency without realizing it to justify our decisions and behavior where we are. You may have noticed this. This can, somebody will come in to a situation and they'll ask for help and people will give them ideas and suggestions. And what was a horrible disaster before, after everybody starts giving their suggestions, they start explaining why actually things are pretty good and actually the way that things are actually are pretty fine, and that's what they're going to continue to do. So everything is fine, but an hour ago it was a disaster. It's just a human tendency. We like to stay where we are. And so it's really just a matter right now of being aware of that. And so because of that, we tend to say things like, I know what to do. It's just, if that were really true, we'd be in different places. so just being open to that. I mentioned that Lauren Isley in The Cosmic Prison points out that we're like a white blood cell flowing through the veins of a cat. There's no way to comprehend the entirety of our universe, given what consciousness that we have. And so that we recognize that that's the problem we're up against. It's not a matter of being able to grasp concepts. They're literally beyond us in that sense, in the way that we often go about it. So just beginning to being open to that and to counteract what our ego tends to tell us, which is that we're totally on top of this. Next is the idea, because we're in love with the egos, ego serves a very purposeful role. Without our egos, we'd be experiencing the entire universe at once, and that would be pretty disastrous. That's a lot. But we tend to, because we identify so much with our ego, we rely heavily on our wills, and our wills is powerful. But simply setting intention, I hear this all the time, just set an intention. And setting intention isn't really useful until we're able to transform. And the ability to transform isn't really useful until we're clearly aware of where we are and what it is that we want. And none of that process will be useful if we're not headed towards something we really want and really love. So getting these things in balance, our will needs to look to our intuition, which needs to look to our higher awareness, like a triangle, and getting ready of those things. Being aware of those three, even if we're not in touch with them yet, understanding that will is only one part of this triangle. The seven planes of existence, we're going to be talking about this a lot. In other words, if we're going to talk about raising vibration, if we're going to raise our vibration, it's helpful to look at what it is we're doing, as well as understanding the nature of our physical selves, our spiritual selves. And so I invite, we're going to be referring to that chart off and on quite a bit as we go through through this process. What else, briefly? Another thing to understand is that we are a continuum of energy, but we experience that continuum kind of in states. It's like the rainbow, the spectrum. It's just a difference in frequency of color. But even though there's some transition, we see like the red, the orange, the the yellow, the green, the blue, the indigo, and the violet, you know, as bands, you know, rather than one gradual smear. That's because there are energy levels that jump. This is why atoms have orbits as well. There's, yes, it's continuous, but we tend to jump, you know, that tends to be water that's different temperatures, and then it's ice, or water that's different temperatures, and then it's steam. So they're not separate, but they can appear to be separate in this way. And so all we're really doing here is setting out, what does it mean that we're energy, frequency, and vibration? So we're not really doing anything with this yet. I'm just kind of getting those back explanations in place before we start moving ahead next week with really looking at the physical plane of that, of those lines. Okay, and some of the background of the science here as well. And then the next thing is we're going to be focusing quite a bit on the hero's journey, Joseph Campbell's model, because it's a beautiful model for exactly what we go through. You are the hero of your own journey or the heroine of your own journey. And the first thing we do, you know, we recognize we're in this ordinary world. It's not bad, but it's not great. And we start to awaken to wanting something better, and something better comes along. And so what do? We refuse the call and we go back to our comfortable, ordinary, but not quite comfortable world. It's simply human nature. We love things to stay the way they are. Again, it's like this excitement of energy. It's not yet enough energy to excite us to the next orbit level or to the next state of being. And usually what happens is an outside force, a mentor, new information, and some new insights, something that then gives us that extra information that makes us cross that threshold. Okay? And then crossing the threshold was only the beginning. Once we cross that threshold, okay, that's a wonderful step. But there's a reason people are hesitant to leave their comfort zone, and that's because as soon as we leave our comfort zone, we're uncomfortable. And the ordinary world, at least metaphorically, starts falling apart. And our tendency is to go, oh, my God, my life is going to hell. When actually all it means is that the crystallized forms that were holding us in place have been released. And in a magical world that we're entering, where anything is possible, it means that the old world has to fall away. Now, this can sound a little bit scary put this way, but we also need to understand that it's going to happen anyway, because we can't simply stop growing. You know, we can try to stay where we are, but we cannot simply stay where we are. And so what tends to happen is what does happen in people's lives. They kind of go from crisis to crisis, you know, and when they're so that things fall apart sometimes all at once. So just understand that the process is that we're, you know, my whole mission is to help people understand we're meant to be happy and healthy, and not one day, but now in the short run. And understanding what all this process has to do with. Okay. We are then the rest of this was a preview of where we're going with this, and then getting into the important parts of the homework. And this is worth kind of going over again because it really is crucial. Then the first part is to have some sort of daily practice. It could be very minimal. But it needs to be really meaningful to us. What I find is that people really kind of struggle with this idea at first, because we tend to get all caught up with the things that we don't believe, that we're not comfortable with. And what we need to do instead is to understand that all that is not the question. All of that is outside of the question. The question isn't, what don't you believe? The question is, well, what do you believe? And even if it's very little, you know, even if it's life is just completely random, all right, that's a belief, and that's a truth that we can start with. You know, in the module, I use the example, if you go outside and draw a picture with a stick and erase it to remind yourself that life is random, man, that would really simplify a lot of the problems that come up during the day, right? And that's the idea, so that instead of things building and building, whatever you yourself define as truth, as real, as important to you, that the day starts with that touchstone. The day starts with that realization right there. And I invite you to do this forever, but at least do it for the next 90 days, and you will find that it builds. I also suggested that you end the day with a gratitude list. Write it down. It's writing it down tends to keep us more honest than just kind of do it in our heads, because we tend to focus on all the things we're struggling with. I do this as well, and we can forget all the things that are going well, all the things we have going for us. And in both these cases, I also suggest, you know, don't try to erect a cathedral here. Do something that is meaningful but simple, that you're actually going to be able to follow through with, even on the days when you're tired, sick, hurried, and so forth. Sure, there's benefit in doing more, but there's more benefit in having it regular every day than something that goes on. The next part of the homework that I invited you to do is really sit down and say, you know, what is it that you want? Why do you want that? Why do you want that? Et cetera. What is it you love? Why do you want that? Why do you want that? Because it seems that we know what we want, but as you really go through this, we find that we want different things than we think. And those are important qualities. So for example, if I set an income goal, money is not particularly important to me. Security is. And so just for example, as an example of how it's useful to be aware of that, you know, if somebody really wants to, you know, to take a major goal at being an entrepreneur, it means taking risk. Well, that's at odds with my goal of security. So, you know, I have to be aware of that, and it's going to affect the ways in which I move forward and the kinds of things I need to work with. And then getting into, well, why do you want security? You know, is it a valid need, or is it something else underlying that? So we really get to the heart of where we are. But the most important thing is, once you get to the end of all those questions, you come to some point where you realize, well, if I had that, anything would be possible. I could do anything that I want. And this is a road that will lead you eventually to that pure potentiality. And it's that pure potentiality from which really positive roads flow. Really positive directions flow. And even if we don't get it yet, but we want to pave that path and just begin kind of this step to awareness. So just doing those things are going to raise quite a bit of issues. Emotional things are going to come up. New things about ourselves that we didn't realize are going to come up. And this is all before we even kind of get into the journey. But it's also very foundational. So that's really the heart of the Module 1 material and the exercises. Okay? So, that said, Bruce, you're first up. And I know you posted a bunch of questions. Should we go through there, or should we just shoot from the hip here, or how do you want to proceed?
I've probably got more questions than you can put in an hour and a half, so if you want to start with what I've already posted online, that's great. I've been working through some of that myself, and Other questions have come up, so I'm
all right.
I'm open to anything.
Okay. So let's actually start then with what you posted online, because what you posted online is actually pretty representative of the kinds of things that people come up with. And this is just taking me a minute because I got a little liquid on my fingertips, so now my mouse pad doesn't want to listen to me.
I can pull it up too if you want.
That's all right. It's here. I just I'm. Whoops. Okay. So you got a couple of different posts here. So you've raised a lot of different questions, and I'm going to delve into some of them and gloss over a few more in favor of getting to them later. But some of the things that I noticed, Bruce, that are kind of typical, is the tendency for our minds to just get racing. And so one of the first things we want to do is step back from that, because that's an endless process. There are always what-ifs. And we want to switch from what-ifs to what-ares. Because it can blind us to that. So for the benefit of those who haven't seen this, one of the things I already responded to in the Kuan Yin Journey page was, Bruce, you had started with something about, okay, the only good I can see, and you listed a bunch of things that you were having trouble with in terms of finding the good. And reading what you said, I pointed out, well, actually, you have covered half a dozen things that are good without being aware of that. And this is kind of a typical response. So this is the benefit of doing the benefit list. So let me start with that one before I go to the other post. So you wrote, it's okay if I read what you wrote, Bruce?
Yeah.
Okay. struggling with the homework. so the other part that I didn't review that I asked is, like, if you get into struggles, for all the things that are not good, what is good about them? And you wrote, unhappy because I feel empty and a great sense of loss over lack of someone I am passionately, intimately connected to. And unhappy because I know I need to change my focus, but I lack the will to do that. Okay, so I get that difficult situation. We'll come back to that. The only good I can see that I've done with these today is to be aware. Awareness is one of the steps of change, but frankly, I'd rather not be aware of these things. I'm generally happier when I focus elsewhere and would like to totally lose awareness of feeling loss of love. So is the awareness really helping me? The situation still is what it is, and I struggle not to feel it, but if I keep busy and distract myself, I don't notice the pain of loss and feel more in the moment of joy of accomplishment. Okay, So first of all, without minimizing the emotional pain of an ending relationship, we can talk about that a little bit later. But sticking just with the awareness issue for right now, you've got what I want to untangle here. The reason I'm starting with this question is that there are multiple issues wrapped up together that belong separate to understand the points. So first is a really simple idea that, you know, if we're not aware of a situation, we're not going to be able to do anything about it. So the awareness is kind of important. And painful awareness is equally important. It's, if my hand is on the stove and the stove is on, it's really important that I feel pain. That awareness is really, really, really critical. We're going to talk about this a lot more when we get to the emotional level. So it's a lot of this is premature. That's why I want to just kind of gloss over some of it now and wait until we really get into the emotional part. But to understand that those feelings are just as bit as important. It's crucial that I feel pain. And it's also crucial that I feel...
I want to make sure I got that. It's crucial that I feel pain. Why?
Pain, in the physical sense, okay? So
Right?
You know, so for example, I'm an extremely active hiker. And, you know, I push myself and I have injuries. And it's extremely important that those injuries hurt or I would do far more damage to myself. So, again, I don't want to get all into emotional pain. That's why we have an entire module on this, and it doesn't come yet on purpose. But that's the beginning, is to understand how important that is to be aware of those things. Now, that said, there's a different issue. I'm generally happier when I focus elsewhere. That's not choosing to be unaware. That's choosing to be aware of things that make you feel better. And that's awesome. In other words, that's implicit in that is a recognition that everything doesn't suck. There are things that I'm happy about, and I would rather think about the things I'm happy about. That's perfect. That's an excellent strategy. That's appreciation. That's gratitude. That's working from the things that are going well. And awareness of that is absolutely helping you. Dwelling on the pain is not helping you. So I think this is maybe the sticking point. It's, you know, the pain is important. No one is suggesting that you should live in the pain, right? So if my hand is burning on the stove, that doesn't mean I should let my hand sit there burning on the stove and really exploring the pain. I should probably move my hand and appreciate some ice water. does that make sense? At that change of focus. So, you know...
Can I ask a follow-up question that you kind of touched on early on?
Yeah, so my sum up here is just the importance is to be aware of what's happening and to consciously be able to shift to things that, well, what does make me feel better, and to turn your attention there, right? Shoot.
Okay, you talked about getting out of my head, and I hear that a lot, but I don't know how else to learn. I mean, by processing these things, okay, it's been helpful to process them on paper. I hate to write, but it's been beneficial in this, since I've been starting the journaling with what I'm doing with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep trying to draw further conclusions by what I'm struggling with, and I do that in my head. So sometimes it gets frustrating, but I don't know how else to process the stuff.
Right, and we'll talk about that a lot more in Module 4. That's another question I have to kind of gloss. See, we can't take on all of this at once, or it is just a confusing mess. But here's the short version for right now. The thing... can recognize that when we get in our head and our thoughts are just racing, you know, like a hamster in our head on crack, it's not productive. Nothing is getting accomplished. It is not helping. It's making us feel worse. There is no forward motion. We're resolving nothing. So to simply start there and recognize that, all right, this is not a productive line of thought. I should stop it. And some simple ways to stop it right now is to get up and do something else, right? To go for a walk, to call a friend, you know, to change the pattern. But it comes to awareness. So those might not sound like earth-shattering strategies, but it helps simply to be aware that I'm doing something that's not helping, and to do something to change the pattern. And those two things, calling somebody else and getting exercise are way at the top. Keeping busy is a good one.
Okay. Well, if I feel like I'm making progress in the mental process, that's not a bad thing. It's just if I feel stuck, it's time to take a break.
Yeah, heads are important tools. But, you know, it's like driving a car, right? If your car's stuck in the mud and your wheels are spinning, do you spin them faster?
No.
Right? No, you take your foot off the gas. It's not helping. It's only digging you into a hole. Right? Right. When we're stuck in a hole, the first thing we want to do is stop digging. And I don't pretend that this is easy. Don't misunderstand. But it just comes down to a basic awareness. Before we can start to change the stuff, the first thing is to be aware of what's going on, to get clear about that. I'm also feeling coming up for me is slow down. This is when people were helping me through this material, when I looked back later and realized, how did they do this so skillfully? I realized that they mostly slowed me down. You know, take time. Let things happen organically. Okay. So let me check in with, let's see who else we have. Deborah, how you doing?
I had to unstar. Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine.
Okay, great.
How are you doing?
So I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Thank you.
Sure. So, do you have any questions?
I don't think so at this point. I only jumped on just a couple of minutes ago, but I'm liking the comments about slowing down, because I know that's definitely a challenge for me, is to not try to push and to let it happen a little more naturally and let it flow. So that's a definite lesson I need to let really soak in.
Yeah. Yeah. The benefit of working with people is it reminds me to do that too. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, let me also see if, Heather?
I'm here, hello.
Hey, how you doing, Heather?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Awesome. So, I know you had some things you posted this week. Did you want to discuss those, or?
Yeah, but I'd like to comment on a couple of things, having gone through this journey, I don't know, months ago now, whenever it was, I want to say April we started, and then address the specific question, because it's kind of been building, you know, for many years, the question that I have that I wanted to address today, but I'm clearly moving in a better direction. So for those that are on the call that are new to this journey, and I will add that I do a lot of other self-help and healing work, but this journey definitely kept me going in the right direction starting in April, leaving a job that paid me a lot of money and made me really sick, and I quit smoking cigarettes that month, April, which I had randomly picked up after quitting 10 years prior due to the stress and everything in the job. So that was a quick, easy drop habit, which was beautiful. And then I went through this process that, you know, we're starting here again now. And over the summer, it was a lot about frustration and knowing where I wanted to be and slowing down and all these things you just talked about. and it brought up a lot of old stuff, and then I started smoking a lot of pot, and then finally just moved through that within the last couple of months, so that's behind me now as well. So there's three major huge things since April to November, which are awesome. So I know that taking the time and putting the effort in works. So I just wanted to start with those things, which are pretty amazing, and with lots of gratitude. And then, you know, one of the things that's been sticking with me for a long, long time and was the reason that I turned to a lot of these issues is because of some specific people that are part of my life. And this is where, you know, sort of the big question comes in around how to be in relationship, identify toxicities within that, and create community that is supportive in the sense of your environment. And, you know, this is a really big one for me as I go back over and over answering to myself these questions about, you know, what do I want and why? It keeps revolving to, you know, the same thing, but I don't want it to be an answer that comes out of a fear place. And it's really difficult for me to identify, is it that or is it not? It's just I'm going in circles, and I don't feel like I'm in my head about it. I do a lot of physical activity, dancing, yoga, meditation, and this is just a really stuck one. So since this call is about getting unstuck, that's the topic for today.
Okay. Heather, is it okay if I read what you posted in the on the Kuan Yin Journey page? Because the wording of this nicely shows another knot to untangle.
Excuse me?
Is it okay if I read on this call what you posted on the Kuan Yin Journey page?
Yes, yes.
Okay. So Heather writes, when others, family who supposedly love you, say they want to be part of your life, are angry and aggressive at you because of your taking care of yourself, and they are not reflections. How to be in relationship or to not be? Is it avoidance to say, I'm out of here, this is toxic? And you got a really good responses underneath. And like Bruce's response, I wanted to say, first of all, that there are multiple issues tangled up here. And so taking this apart bit by bit, the good and the bad and the indifferent kind of here. So I'm starting off, and none of this is judgment. All of this is just looking at the objectives here. When others, you know, family who supposedly love you. So right from the start, we have a judgment, and maybe rightly so, but right at the beginning, that sets up a new problem to solve. So let me come back to that one because I want to do this in a good order.
Yeah.
Okay. People being angry and aggressive, that's another issue. Taking care of yourself when other people are not, another issue. How to be in a relationship or not. Is it avoidance to say, I'm out of here, this is toxic? And so let's start with this backwards. And so the answer to that one is totally depends on where do you want to go. This is why being really clear about what we want and why is important. Because, so there's going to be conflicting answers here, so let me kind of explain why. So the first one is, I have done this myself. Understand that there's going to be levels of where we are and where we want to be. So first, there is absolutely nothing wrong with saying, this is not good for me, I'm out of here. I've done that myself. That's a choice. But here's the thing. I need to take responsibility for that choice. And I need to do it in a couple of different ways. To understand that it's a conflict with relationship. And so a separate question is, do I want to be in relationship with these people? And if the answer is yes, then the answer just got a whole lot more complicated. And so now it becomes a question of, you know, do I do this? Is this just for now, or am I walking away? So it's kind of a process of where you are and where you want to be. So, you know, I'm taking care of myself. I need to pull myself. Here's what I would watch out for that. People often talk about setting boundaries, and there's nothing wrong with setting boundaries if that's important. Okay, so for example, one firm boundary I have is there's no alcohol in my home. It's my home. I get to make that rule. And but sometimes when people set boundaries, they're like, you know, all right, so there's this line, and I'm painting it right here, and don't you goddamn dare better cross it or there'll be trouble. And it's like, that's not setting a boundary. That's total reaction. And so nobody knows that but the person setting the boundary. So, but if it's an honest, look, this is not good for me, you know, I'm stepping away from this. That's one thing. A good guide for this, Heather, is to check your anger level. Because when we're angry, we're reacting. When we can calmly say, you know what, this is just not good. And so I'm going to step away from this. That's a healthy choice. So that's one answer. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. On the other hand, if it's, okay, this is a person or people that I do want to be in relationship with, well, temporarily, that's okay, but it's not going to build the relationship. So that's a separate question. And it's not a judgment either, because you get to decide which people you're going to be in relationship with. There, you know, things could come up, and there are people who are, okay, I want to be in relationship with you. Let's sit down and have this painful conversation. And there are other people who are like, I don't care at all about a relationship with you, so I'm simply out of here. So that's, you know, a question for you that people answer differently. Often, when we change rapidly, so we change the worlds of people around us. And, you know, you've changed a lot. You went from what many people would see as a sweet position to something riskier. You gave up a cigarette addiction. You embraced and then gave up you know, the marijuana. And suddenly you're a different person than you used to be. And that upsets everybody's apple cart. So one thing that we can do is, well, yes, that's their problem. At the same time, we can at least be understanding that, you know, it's like the whole comfort zone. People don't like their apple carts upset. To be understanding that that's the process, that we can be unattached from it, that we can react to anger and aggression, we can step away from it, we can, depending on the level of relationship, if you want to get into it, understand that anger and aggression is usually covering sadness, defensiveness. There's somebody is afraid they're not going to get something they wanted or that they're going to lose something that they have. Whether you want to get into that level of emotional involvement with them depends on the value the relationship has for you. And then the final thing would be recognizing our own parts of things, even when we're largely right. Going into a conflict, you know, with a judgment, with a, you know, I try to, it's hard, but I try as much as possible to shut down the should factory. Okay? This is the way that people should be, and they're not being it. That's destined for problems. You know, expectations are resentments under construction. And so, you know, starting a question with family who supposedly love you, say they want to be part of your life, you know, this is, right from the start, it's like, okay, this is not going in a good direction. because you're holding their resentment as well. And maybe for very good reason, but that's a separate part. And so at some point, you know, you want to look at what's going on for you. If you remember, Heather, the material that we covered about, you know, there are many things to be upset about in the world that are horribly serious, that aren't keeping us up at night, even if we're concerned. And so, you know, we react to the ones that hit our ego hard. And so we can step back and go, okay, well, this is what's going on for them. I can't do a lot about them, but I can look at what's going on here for me. Family especially. I know people who say that family is the other F word. And the old joke is that friends are God's way of apologizing for family. And because as important as family is, you know, the cliche that we hear is that, you know, family know how to hit your buttons. They know you like forever. But we can also start to recognize, though, that family knows how to hit our buttons because we tend to walk around wearing our button suits. And I'm not dismissing this or pretending it's easy. I had a childhood, too, and I know some of mine, and I have to watch for them. But what we can recognize that is the case, and that we can take off the button suit. And then the other thing I would say about this is taking care of ourselves in a positive way. I have a friend who likes to say, don't dial pain. And what she means by this is that when she's feeling down about herself, she doesn't call her mom. She loves her mom, but her mom will get into all these things that will make her feel worse. And so she doesn't dial pain. You know, she calls her mom when she's in a better space. She calls friends who she knows will give her the kind of support she needs at that moment, rather than expecting all of that from different people. And that's, you know, this is always going to be different. You know, I come from a family that does not really embrace emotional expression. And so they're wonderful people, but if I go to them for emotional support, I'm going to be disappointed. I have to go to people who are, I'm going to be able to give me that kind of support that I need in that moment. None of this is easy, Heather. I get that. But I did want to point out that what you had lumped on in one issue is actually half a dozen issues that need to be looked at separately to be looked at successfully. Is that helpful?
Yep.
Okay. Do you want to follow up or?
I do. Just one piece, just so I can nail this, you know, specific area and around the trigger of anger.
Mm-hmm.
So generally 99% of the time, life is pretty happy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a few of the specific reasons that I was smoking pot or doing things to not feel was around not wanting to be in this relationship, and it was the way to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel really good not doing those things. And yet, at the same time, I am definitely not one to pick up the phone and call this person for anything. However, the whole sadness, anger that you touched on, or me pulling away, is just that of the pushing of the buttons. So what happens is I get triggered very easily with this anger, frustration. All of a sudden my energy shifts whenever this person comes around. It makes me really uncomfortable. So I don't know if I'm looking for an answer, but I don't want to feel like all of my life is I can't wait to get out of here.
Yeah.
Like, when is that day going to come? Like, I want to be in my body wherever my environment is comfortable.
So So one of the things that I can bring to this conversation is, as you know, I struggled with alcohol for over a decade. And while I was solving my problems with alcohol, my emotional development was on hold. And when I stopped and stepped away from that, that was good, but also a decade's worth of emotional problems came rushing in at once. And it takes time to sort through all that. And by time, I mean, it was a good 18 months before my head even started to clear. So I wanted to suggest right now, as far as a solution, is right now, be patient with yourself. You know, it seems like forever, but it hasn't been very long. You know, you've only recently stepped out of an addiction. You've been through a lot this year. You've been through some pretty major changes. And I'd suggest to, just for right now, be patient with yourself. Give it time. In the short run, I think it's perfectly fine to, you know, limit your time or, you know, wait until you're in a good space. I think it's perfectly fine to say, you know what, I need to go right now. We'll talk about this later. I think it's perfectly fine to pull out of your space. You don't, you know, it's often we say, well, I have to go to this or I have to do that. And you really don't. If it's really just not working for you at this point, you don't have to go to anything. You don't have to go because you said you would go. And it's appropriate to take care of you. You know, when you're in a calmer space, you know, then you can pick some of these things up again. You know, I'm not immune to anger, but I will get out quickly and come back. If it's a high quality relationship, I'll say, I need to go right now, and then we'll talk about this later. If it's a low quality relationship, I'm just out of there. Or if I can't have that, you know, that calm, we'll talk about this later thing. And then give it time. You know, all this isn't going to happen at once. Having a regular support, you know, a positive support network, this is the way to go. Did you see Selena's post this week? Did you happen to catch that?
I did, but I'm going to need to go back and reread it.
Yeah, what's really sweet about what Selena did was, for those of you who don't know, so Selena is an alumnus of this program, and she posted, paraphrasing here, that, you know, I've grown so much, I've learned so much, I'm in a completely different space. It's wonderful. Not every day is wonderful, though. Today is not a great day, and I could really use some love and support. And she got all these postings of love and support. So that's really perfect in several ways, because she recognizes all the growth and progress, and she recognizes that this is a one-day thing. And she reached out for outside help and support and got it. And that's perfect. You know, beautifully handled. The day ended and the new day dawned. You know, so having that support network around, to having that be a habit. You know, if I'm in a day and I'm having emotional issues, I don't wait to sort through them and get myself into a tizzy. You know, I call somebody. I'll call my AA sponsor, who I'm still on good terms with years later. You know, I see him several times a week in various places. He lives a mile down the street. I have friends I can call. And, you know, if I need to, I'll just go down my phone till I find somebody to talk to, just to talk to. just to get out of my own head and get into a different space. But Heather, I think that, you know, the main thing I would stress is be nice to yourself. You've been through a lot, and it hasn't really been that long, and that's okay. You've accomplished some major things. That's terrific. And, let time take time. You don't have to solve it all at once. Does that help?
Yep.
Are you sure?
I'll know in time.
Okay. Okay. Breathe in and out. All right. Where should we go here? So, relationship seems to be the theme of the day. And let me just check for something. I have an idea that might be helpful. I have, from my upcoming book on getting unstuck, a whole chapter on relationships. Now, I'm no relationship expert, but I do have some thoughts, and I think what I will do, and is post this along with the call recording for you guys. And this really kind of, I don't want it to be a distraction, because it really kind of will get into some things in the emotional things for those of you who are new, but it might give you some things that you can work with. Maybe that will help. Yeah, in the short run, one of the points I make about this is that in the area of relationships, you know, they cut right to the core, and we don't handle these as well as we do other things. We don't get as much practice. We're not as on top of this as we are on, say, our corporate game. We can tend to struggle here. So I will include that, and I hope that helps with some of these things. And I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. It's really important that we build this in order and not get too much into the emotional realm. But it may help, since those are issues that some of you are struggling with right now. And also, you know, I've struggled with this myself, so I deeply appreciate the pain of both your situations. But it does get better. So at the risk of sounding dismissive, which is not at all my intent, you know, take care of yourselves one step at a time. Time takes time. You can't solve everything with your head. Go for walks. Look at the things you do appreciate. Remember the greater journey is awareness. You know, start your day with that touchstone. Yay for giving up addictions. You know, when we bury feelings, we bury them alive. So this is all really good progress. And you're here on this call talking about it. That alone is a positive direction. So, any other thoughts, questions?
Sure.
Shoot.
What about holding space? Because I mentioned in my post about the way that relationship has kind of been cyclical and off again, on again. Is there value in holding space for that, or am I just keeping myself in a rut by doing so?
Well, not a relationship counselor, Bruce, but so with that disclaimer, though, as an outside observer, and I think you're making yourself nuts. And I know this from the inside, what that's like. It's hard to be objective.
It is hard to be objective.
I
see so much growth that has come from this relationship, and I see potential for more, but I don't know obviously I don't know the future. I don't know what's going to happen with it, so it's hard knowing what to do with it.
And I've been there before twice, and here's the thing about that growth part. When somebody makes decisions to step out of something where there's still positive growth, possible there, they get to decide that. They're allowed.
Right. And I get that.
I have two friends right now who just bounce from bad relationships into a relationship with each other. And I'm not saying a word about it because it's none of my business. And there is this has disaster written all over it in so many ways it's hard to even comprehend. But they get to do that. They get to decide that. You can recognize that, just because that you're in one situation where there's been growth and positive things, this is not the last relationship. And all of us have, I certainly have anyway, and probably you have too, been somewhere before and then along came someone better. And then you go through it again and along comes someone better. And not to minimize the pain or the importance of relationship, but, along comes something better. It just tends to happen that way. We grow into different places. We're in different vibrational states. Our journeys go in different directions. There are a number of reasons things happen. But at the same time that something vibrates out of our existence, we're also opening up to new possibilities that weren't there before, to people who weren't necessarily ready for us before, or we weren't ready for them, or simply, this part of our journey is done, and maybe the rest of that growth is going to happen for each of you with different people, or maybe not. But all of it's okay. People get to decide that. And this is
not questioning her right to decide something different in any way, shape, or form. I'm just saying that it's been that way for 5 years. One of us is on, one of us is off. One of us is on, one of us is off. Certainly there's times together. But as I try to move on, I keep seeing things that keep directing me back toward that. And so I feel like, okay, is that even to the point of being, okay, there's way too much here for it to be just coincidence. Am I just seeing what I want to see, or is there something there, and can I create my own space while still leaving space for that to return? I'm not sure what to do with it.
Well, the answer to that, Bruce, is yes and no, and yes and or no, whatever you decide, as long as you are willing to take the total responsibility of that choice. If you could, like, okay, I want to stay on this merry-go-round, and I appreciate by making that decision that these things come with it. Or you could say, I've had enough, I'm off this roller coaster, and I'm willing to accept these things that go with it.
I certainly don't like the merry-go-round portion of it. I would like to see it be more stable, but and it was looking like it really was headed that direction and then kind of took a U-turn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So again, you know, it's I don't have not a relationship counselor and no crystal balls, but it's a matter of deciding what it is you want and why, and getting clear about why. Maybe that's a good thing. Why do you want? Why would you want to stay? Why would you want to leave? Why do you want that? Why do you want that? Why do you want that? Maybe find out what's really driving you.
Well, I've been trying to go through that. I've kind of gone through the why, you know, the levels of why, and distilled it down. And I think I put down that distillation process in the Facebook page, but it still doesn't really give me any clear answers, because I can, I mean, I guess I can find it with that return, or I can find it in something else, too, so I don't know.
All right, so let's start with, what is it that you want, Bruce?
What I get out of the relationship is I feel most at the moment in a deeply intimate connection, and that's the space that I like to be in.
Okay, so so what you want is the connection. Connection to this person or connection generically?
Either or. I mean, I really...
No, it's not entirely the same thing, right?
It isn't, no. That brought up a whole big debate that I've been having with my family this week, and not necessarily a debate, but a discussion, but is going into the oneness of connection with all things, losing the ability to be the observer and feel that connection. So that's a whole nother.
That's 18 volumes of consciousness reading. I think, Bruce, that you're driving yourself. I'm going to go back to what I said first. I think you're going in circles. I'm going to suggest, do a lot of going for walks. Think about something different. Look at things that are clear. Because you went right from, prepared to like go through this in order, and we went right from my want. It's connection, but then we kind of did a U-turn into this whole different conversation rather than going through and getting clear. Okay? So maybe I would suggest do this exercise and take this relationship entirely out of it. Okay? You're just, poof, you're on Earth. There you are. You don't know anybody. What do you want?
Okay.
Why do you want it? Why do you want that? Why do you want that? And you keep going until you get to this place, because then I could do anything. I could have anything. Anything is possible. That's when you're done.
Well, and when I distill that down to, it's the things that I came down to were, I want freedom, passion, love, joy, bliss, excitement.
Okay. So why do you want those things? What do they do for you?
They're all things that I experience as positive. So
But that's not why you want them. That's just history.
I don't know. I don't know how to distill it further than that.
All right. So, well, you cut a whole list of things. You know? So, you listed them at once, like freedom and excitement. These are different things. These aren't answers to the same question necessarily. Why do you want freedom?
I like being able to be self-directed. I don't like being told what to do.
Okay. And why do you like being self-directed? Why is that important? What does it do for you to be able to be self-directed?
I feel I have control in my own life by being able to do that.
Okay. And having control of your own life, what does that do for you?
I get to choose the direction I want.
Okay, what?
I get to choose what the direction I want. I get to choose what I want to do.
Okay.
I mean, that's kind of a cyclical argument.
Well, it's because you're wording it that way. You're answering, you're not coming up with reasons, you're restating the same thing.
I don't know. How do I get further than that? Because I honestly don't know.
Right. Okay, so bingo. Now we struck gold. Okay? I honestly don't know. So there's our first bit of awareness. Okay?
Okay.
I want to be self-directed and in control. I don't honestly don't know why. Okay? So that's something that we didn't know before.
Well, I know a lot of things that I don't know.
That's not the same question. That's not the same thing as not knowing how many miles away is Pluto on a given day. Do you see what I'm saying here, Bruce? You can really start to look at what's kind of driving me here. By stepping away from the circumstances and really just looking at, who is Bruce and what is it he really wants? As opposed to reacting to situations that you've been in. Before you use the word, I've been experiencing these things. And so that's like attachment to what's already happened, which is what all of us tend to do, versus going, is this where I want to go? Or is it what I'm used to?
I still want to go there. That's something I want present in my life at all times, is that freedom and sense of self-direction. I don't know how that's any different than you saying that security is important to you.
All right. Do you feel, what would happen if you didn't have self-direction?
I would fight to regain it.
No. What would your life be like without that? What would you lose?
I mean, that seems to be obvious. I would lose the ability to sell. If that was gone, it would be gone. I don't. What I would.
No, you're just. You see, that's. So you're just. That's just going in circles.
It is. I don't know. I'm not sure what you're trying to get at.
I'm trying to get you out of a circle, in either direction, because. I can see that you're stuck there. So, for example, the reason I want security is so that I have the freedom to do what I want, which is different than security. Okay? Just for example. So somebody else could answer that question, well, I want security because I'm afraid and I want to be safe. That's a completely different journey. Right? Security so that you're free to do what you want. Security so that you're safe, that you have safety. This is not the same journey at all. Self-direction so that you don't have to, self-direction so that you're free to build something, for example, would be one. Or self-direction so that I can, learn from my desires, or self-direction so that I can help to lead others. These are all different motivations. Everybody wants to be self-direction. That's just ego, right? There's nothing wrong with it, but I mean, everybody wants that.
I honestly don't know how to distill that any further. I mean, I want to be able to do what I want in any given moment.
Mm-hmm. What does the ability to do that create, other than I can do what I want? What else does it create? Because you have the ability to do what you want, what does that make possible?
interesting.
Okay, so and so why do you want? I don't know. Think of a better word. I'm trying to avoid just going back. So the ability to do anything. Okay, that's important to you then.
I don't know how to not make it cyclical. That's why I thought.
No. So I want to do whatever I want to do, and I'll be able to do anything. Aren't the same thing? Okay. At least not as I'm hearing it. I can just then do anything. You know, meaning that I can then go ahead and make this successful is different than I'm going to do whatever I want. Without that necessarily implication of success in there. I know a lot of people who want to do whatever they want, who feel that the world is stopping them from doing it. That's different from people who feel like I can do anything I want, anything is possible. Those are two different things. So self-direction so that I'm, I can, work to realize things I know what I could do is different than self-direction so that because I don't like when other people control me. Do you see what I mean?
Okay, well, I would say both of those are components of it. I like the self-direction, and I like the idea. I believe at an ultimate level, we can create with the power of thought and have the transformative and creative power that's attributed to people like Christ. I believe that's within our grasp. We just have either forgotten or haven't learned how to do it.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, awesome. So, yeah, I want to do a pen so that I can, because I, so that I can create, what is the ability that I can create? Well, it means that I can start to realize, what I believe that, Christ and presumably other masters have demonstrated. That's a whole different direction than just like, I want to do things my way. Does that make sense? Because
for me, it's still the same. I mean, I don't want to look at it as a totally selfish motive because I want everybody to have that same ability.
There you go. And why do you want that ability? Because I want everybody to have that ability. Yeah, that's completely different than just going around this same circle. That's a mission. That's a direction.
I'm still not seeing it any different from my standpoint. I've maybe defined some parameters of it, but...
Okay, so let's forget about the exercise. Just getting clear about this idea, look, I want to be able to go in this direction, and because I want to learn to transform because I've seen it, there's this history, I want to get closer along those paths, I want to be able to show other people. Does that resonate with you? Is that like, yes, that's what Bruce Larson is about?
It resonates with me. I don't know that that's all that I'm about, but yeah, it resonates with me.
Okay, so that's a baseline, all right? Because if I had that, man, right, anything. And so that's one thing. So you said I don't know all those things. So follow those other things through until you're to a point where like, yeah, this is exciting. This is, not just a list of characteristics. This is what's driving me at my heart. This is my mission.
I tried going through that with that program with Ryan and never could get there too. I just feel stuck. I mean, I can identify the things that are important to me, but where it's taking me is not real clear.
Okay. So, I heard Tim Kelly is a new paradigm business leader, very, very powerful, cutting-edge stuff. He loves to go into a company and says, what are you guys about? And they'll say, well, we have a mission statement. He goes, great, somebody read it. and they kind of look at each other, and somebody gets out and somebody reads it, and he goes, then he'll say, I may have goosebumps right now. And they look at him like he's just grown two heads, right? And he says, well, what good is your mission statement if it doesn't excite you, right? It's not really what you want. It's a useless piece of paper. So there's a world of difference, Bruce, than you know, between, well, I just want to do what I want, and it's going, this is what I'm about, you know? This motivates me. This excites me. It's like, this is the mission. I may or may not know how to do it, but this is the mission. That's a world different than the world of people who are less like, I just want to do it my way.
I get that. I'm totally on board with
okay.
that. Making sense, but I've tried to find out what that is through, like I said, I went through Ryan's program. That was my main goal there. I got stuck and couldn't move past that. I've felt like there's something that I need to be doing for much of my life, but I have no idea what it is.
Okay, so we just uncovered one thing. This transformative leader thing is important to you. Okay? You feel there's something that you've always wanted to do, you just don't know what it is. I know that feeling well. I've been there myself. Okay? It's not really the same question, but like we could do the same thing. Why do you want that? Why is that important?
Why do I want to know?
No. Why is it important? Yeah, okay. Why do you want to know? Why is finding this thing important to you? What will that do for you?
Gnawing at the back of my head for forever. Like, okay, you got to do something. There's something you're supposed to be doing. Okay, great. What is it? Show me. I went through all.
So the motivation is to shut up the pain in your head?
It's not even really pain. It's just like an awareness that there's something else I should be doing, and I'm not doing it. So it's like, okay, let's get the ball rolling. Let's go with it.
So if you find it, what will that mean?
That I can start progressing again.
Okay. So you see how that's a different... Right. So progressing is important to you.
Yes.
Okay. Why is progressing important to you?
Well, that's actually been a debatable point of discussion a lot this weekend, too, with my family. I'm happy to coast and just have fun, but it seems like if I do that too long, circumstances start popping up to say, okay, you've coasted long enough, time for the next step. So then I do something like sign up for your program.
Okay. So, but you see how you keep sidestepping it. You keep going, well, here's been the problem. Instead of like, well, if I work through this, why, you know, so I'm right back to is, you know, so there's some pain associated with not getting this. What's associated with getting it? Because I totally hear you, Bruce. I've been here. I've been where you are. I totally hear you. I really, really do.
Associated with getting it is having some direction rather than
there we go.
Trying to figure it out. So
yeah.
I would like to whatever it is that I do to fill me with the passion that I don't know how many people.
Yeah, you're saying it beautifully. You're saying it beautifully. Yeah.
But the things that I really enjoy out of life, I don't know. I don't see having a business, a place in business, or serving other people. And I want to feel like I'm not just. It's important to me to be making a contribution.
Okay. So it's important to you. So that's come up a couple of different times, right? It's like you don't just want to be able to transform things. You want other people to be able to do it too. You don't just want a direction. You want to make a contribution. So,
right.
Okay, so that's a key motivator for you. So this ability to really learn, you want a clarity, you want a direction, but you don't just want things to do. You want passion. But you don't just want passion for yourself. You want to make a contribution. You want to help other people show how to do this. These are a whole different set of values than just, I want to do what I want to do. Does that make sense to you? I mean, this is, and it's beautiful. Even if you don't know what it is, that's like, okay, You know, now I understand what's driving you. I totally get what's driving you.
Okay.
And so with that, we can start to get some clarity around that. It's like, okay, so it's I can step out of some of the hamster wheel stuff and step into, okay, I want to really make a contribution. I want to be passionate about this. I want a direction. Okay?
I want to feel excited about it when I, you know, when I think about, and it doesn't feel like going to work. It's like, okay, yay, I got to go do this again today.
Yes, I get it. There's a world of difference between, hey, guys, I put together this program, and, you know, life is supposed to be healthy and joyous, and right now, not one day, and I want to show you how to do it. That's a whole different way to get up in the morning.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. I get it. I totally get it. A simpler way to put this, you know, there's a world of difference between it's really important to me to make to machine metal parts precisely, and this metal part is the brake on a kid's bike, and no kid's going to be, you know, whizzing into traffic without a brake on my shift. It has a purpose. It has a mission. There's a higher reason
for
it.
I guess I didn't understand the homework then. I thought it was to distill down to the greatest feeling, but you're wanting, what is the purpose behind?
Yeah, what's really driving this? Because at that point, you know, when we get into the whole, the highest potential. But in your case, mainly I just want to get you out of your circle and into a different, a wider range of thinking. Okay, because again, there's a world of difference between I want to do what I want to do and I want something that fills me with passion and makes a true contribution to the world and I'm excited about doing. That's fantastic.
Okay, I don't know if you remember the call I had with Ryan, but the things that really fill me with that kind of passion that I've discovered in life for sexuality and going fast, whether that be running down a hill or driving a car or whatever. And I just, how do I, none of those really make much of a business model.
Mm.
And I don't want to be a prostitute. And I don't.
I'm, you know, not a business coach either, so I'm not going to get into that. But it's, in fact, quite a few people have made businesses around sexuality without being prostitutes. Quite a few people have made speed in the businesses. Let's broaden our thinking. Let's broaden our thinking first before we start shooting everything down. Let's get into a different plateau. Let's get into a different place. Time to look at things differently. Okay. Yeah. Are you open to being open to, okay, there are possibilities here far beyond anything I've ever thought of?
Absolutely, or I wouldn't be here.
Excellent. Isn't there the gem I heard from Tim Kelly that I love this? I had been aware for a while that this was so, but Tim just put it so beautifully. A lot of successful business people take an hour or two a day for prayer and meditation deliberately to listen to their intuition. That's like literally a part of their practical business day. Okay? I need to get into that space to get the really good ideas to run my business. The way that Tim put it, because, you know, the moment you thought that you had the desire, there was a plan. Your job now is to get quiet and listen to it. And that really took me back, because I start my day doing this, and it's like, yeah, okay. So, you know, step back. Step back. I want to do something with speed and sexuality is a very different place than I want to be filled with passion and make a contribution to the world that lets me transform things and show other people how to do that.
Well, both of those are accurate. One was taken from more of a personal level. What do I want on a personal level? And the other is, what can I mean, they still have a personal aspect to them, but one is, what do I want to receive, and the other is, what I want to give. And I want to do both. I want to be a giver and receiver.
Mm-hmm. That's important. You know, remember the whole abundance river thing?
It's part of
the cycle. Yeah. I think you're doing fine. I just think you're driving yourself nuts.
Yeah, that's no doubt about that.
So.
I drive my family batty, too, having these discussions with them.
So instead of saying, you know, just take some time, quiet, listen. Every day, just, you know, make it part of your whatever practice you decided on. Just get quiet.
I have been.
You know, listen, just get heart-centered. And so not like, what's the answer? That's mind again. Because there already is an answer. I just haven't heard it yet.
Okay.
Just be calm. And it doesn't have to come today or tomorrow or next week. And just be centered in that there's an answer, I just haven't heard it yet. And then when you're not expecting it, your bells and whistles will go off. They will. When you get out of your own way. And I say this not as a judgment, but from personal experience.
I've been waiting 40 years for it. It'd be nice if it shows up soon before I'm 80 years old.
But Bruce, listen to you. Your brain is so racing, okay? There's no room for anything to get in. Your whole world is yeah buts. Create some space. Breathe. Just slow down. So we're not going to solve all this today, but you know, we'll get into the mental stuff in a few weeks, in a month actually. But because it is a lot to unravel. So we want to go step by step. That's why we start with the physical things first that we can easier work with and then on up. But I studied Tai Chi with Master Titi Liang, and we would learn some new class with my students and I, fellow students and I. We would struggle with something, some advanced technique, and we'd work. And finally we would go, Master Liang, what are we doing? You know, we're hard. We've tried so hard. And he would walk over. He was 89 at the time. He would walk over and say, in his Chinese, in a thick Chinese accent, "You already try hard. Now try soft." And I'm going to kind of just leave this for today, Bruce. Like, be open to trying soft. You've already tried hard. Give yourself a break for a couple weeks. Okay? You've already tried hard. It's gone in circles. Try soft. Step away from that.
So what does try soft look like?
Stop following the same hamster wheel. Okay? You have some things, okay? Not like, yeah, I wanted this, but what about that, but what about that, but what about this? And say, okay, I want to do something I'm passionate about. I truly want to make a difference. I want to really be able to transform and show people how to transform. That's a different set of criteria than we started with. Let me just sit with that. A whole lot of things that could happen from there. All right, and with module 2, we start jumping into, into the work of this program. So it's a place to start. So I'm going to wish you well with that, and I think you and I are talking soon, aren't we?
Yeah, tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah, we can talk about this.
I blogged all the time today. I hope I didn't keep somebody else from asking what they wanted to ask.
No, I think we're okay. But I think we're as far as we're going to get today, and there's a lot to think about right there, and we can take it up again later.
Okay.
All right, so many blessings. Thanks for being in on the call. Just slow down. It'll be fine. You really will. And everybody else listening, thanks for listening. And namaste. See you again next week. Right? So take care, everyone.